Oh, America. I wish I could tell you that this was still America, but I've come to realize that you can't have a country without people, and there are no people here. No, my friends. This is now the United States of Zombieland.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pretty Much Geek Podcast's Halloween Horror Month. I'm your host, Marcel Delgado, here, as always, with Alonzo Castillo.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Just a little bit after LA Comic Con, we're here to talk about one of our favorite movies. A movie that me and you watched when it came out. We were in high school, and it kind of had a big impact on mainly you.
Yeah.
A little so for me, but more so this is your movie.
Yeah.
In that regard. So, yeah. Zombieland, 2009. Came out one of the first directorial debut for the illustrious director, Ruben Fleischer, who directed the award-winning Venom. It's not really an award-winning. Let's talk about maybe a Razzie, I would say, maybe. But,
yeah, probably, yeah.
But soon to direct Zombieland Double Tap. Coming up soon.
The same team. You know, with Zombieland, when we first watched it, and, you know, zombies were on the rage during when this movie came out. I mean, you know, I think The Walking Dead, I think maybe it just starting up. Like, you know, there was a bunch of zombie-related content all coming out at the same time. But Zombieland, to me, was something done so well because it was so, like, in a way, it's like if they really wanted to make a very sort of a gritty, realistic sort of zombie movie, they could definitely have. And those elements are definitely felt without the movie. I mean, there are still certain scenes in this movie that kind of get me, like, a little bit on my edge, a little tense, because I do find it just the buildup of how they actually handled the zombies. Of course, it's in a comedic fashion, but it's still kind of like all the right elements are there. One of my favorite scenes is when you just see the zombie clown underneath the
when he's going
in the bathroom. And it's just like, it's funny because Columbus has all these rules and he gets so paranoid and freaked out whenever he has to break any of them or gets close to breaking them. So, like, it's just hilarious. It's just so funny.
The premise of this is essentially just they originally wanted this movie to be a TV series. It's supposed to be like a weekly show, hence that's where they got the whole zombie kill of the week. Every single episode would have a new different character for add a new different kill of the week, and you'd have it all culminate in various different things, and it just didn't end up working out. The writers of the movie, which were the writers of the movie Rhett Reiss and Paul Wernick, they ended up just creating it into a script for a whole feature. The minute that happened, it became more of a tangible thing and had a lot more traction around it, and it eventually got greenlit. So, yeah. And the premise around this entire thing is that all of our main characters are survivors in the apocalypse. It's only been about a couple months since the zombie apocalypse. It's a viral infection, and they are trying to survive. You got four different characters. You got Columbus as the nerd and our protagonist of the entire film. He has many, many rules through Zombieland, which to follow, has a lot of OCD, very paranoid. And
yeah, and it's kept him alive.
So yes.
Like, most importantly, yeah. It's kept him alive.
Played brilliantly by Jesse Eisenberg. They also got Tallahassee, played by Woody Harrelson. I mean, there's not much more to say about Harrelson.
You know what?
But this is one of the best.
I do appreciate his commitment, too, in this movie. Because he had so much fun with his character. You could just tell. But I really appreciate his dedication. And obviously, he's Woody Harrelson, so just about everything he does is going to be great. But I feel like he really reveled in the character, and that's why I really loved it. Because he's, on top of it being just Woody Harrelson, I lose that vision of Woody Harrelson. I see Tallahassee, and that's kind of one thing I really enjoyed about this movie.
Yeah, Tallahassee is I'd say one of his best roles. You can just tell that there's a lot of love and a lot of just jumping into the role for him. Like you're saying, it's funny because Harrelson didn't want to. This was like one of, I think he said it was on the list of several like scripts that he had in the back of his back pocket that he just didn't want to do. And the zombie movie was not something that he thought he would go for. But this movie isn't your most conventional zombie film. It has a lot more wit, it's a lot more smarter, it's a better script, and the characters are a lot more interesting. So Tallahassee is the badass, and then we got the duo of sisters, played by Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin, That would be Wichita and Little Rock. So we got a little theme going on, different places with different names. You don't want to really give out your name in Zombieland, not familiarity with someone since they're going to bite the bullet eventually or get bitten in general. I remember, like I said, we were in high school when it came out, and when you're a teenager, you know, zombies tend to be one of those things that, you know, you just start eventually getting, at least for me, I was getting introduced to a lot of later than most, but yeah, there was tons and tons of content for us at that time, and this one was one of those movies that just stood out because there was just an energy to this movie. The way that it was directed, the way it was written, the way it was acted, whether it be through the rules that Columbus has, which I love them, most of the rules. I'm just going to go all the top four ones right now. Rule number one, cardio, which is absolutely true and scary. That you feel bad. I hate cardio. I'm not gonna pretend like I love running and doing all that shit. But if I'm gonna have to be going to the gym and having to do that, that's my least
favorite. And a zombie apocalypse is gonna be definitely important.
Oh yeah, no. Rule number two: double tap. Rule number three: beware of bathrooms. And rule number four: seatbelt. So the first four of like 31, I think he said that he has, and he's working on it. I think we're gonna be getting more in like the sequel.
This movie, like you were saying, there's an energy to it, but it's how dynamic all the characters are. And how they all have, first of all, I feel like how they all have their own individually unique backstories that sort of make us like connect with the character in one way or another. But at the same time, they all have such a relationship with each other and they all kind of balance each other out. You know, like Columbus is a little bit more of like, you know, a nerd, a little bit more shy and coy and tries to be as careful as he can whenever he comes to approaching any situation. Tallahassee's obviously more of a badass, so he just approaches everything gun blazing, like, you know, balls to the wall action. And so like, whenever you're with different characters, it's always like you're going to get a different experience. And then when you combine two of them, it's like then the dynamics change even more. And it's just, it's always so entertaining to see how they develop. And everybody in this movie, I think, did such a great job with whatever character they had. Like they, you know, it's so believable of who they are trying to portray in this zombie apocalypse. And you can almost kind of see why they have survived this long. You know, Tallahassee even being his, you know, rambunctious self, why he just survived for so long, because he's just always going for it. So it's just,
I mean, they wouldn't get this movie working if you didn't have all these four actors with such chemistry. I mean, granted, they're all four amazing actors. Harrelson, Eisenberg, or like nearing the beginning of their careers for Eisenberg and Emma Stone. Breslin had already, like, at this point, I think, she'd won an Academy Award for Little Miss Sunshine. So every single one of it, and at this point now, where we're at right now, all four of these actors have at least either won or been nominated for a Academy Award at this point. So I mean, you have the
almost like that the hunger, that thirst for, like, you know, being, wanting to obviously become the best at their craft, and this is like almost like the early stages of them sort of shaping that. And so I think, as for being that earlier stages of their lives, of their acting career, when they're, you know, I mean, sort of giving it their all, especially for these younger actors, it's really great to see. And I think that's the reason why, even though I could almost feel like Harrelson steals the show majority of the movie because he's just so entertaining and he's funny. Everybody definitely has their moments and their spotlight. So I think they definitely hold their toes, or they hold their ground when it comes to, you know, acting next to Woody Harrelson. I think all the actors hold their ground, to be honest. But I mean, just this movie, and even coming down to zombie movies in general, this movie is so, one in my opinion, one of the best zombie movies ever made. Even though it's a comedy, it's a horror comedy, but like just the elements of how they handle zombies and how they're always an imminent threat. A lot of, I feel like other zombie movies tend to feel like, you know, there's always like a third protagonist, like you know, whether it be the military or just even like an evil gang that always ends up becoming like, I guess, a big issue. In this movie, they really tend to stick that the biggest problem in the whole movie are the zombies. And yeah, they may run into people here and there that might kind of screw them out of it, but it's almost like at the end of the day, the biggest enemy is still the zombies, and they're always a danger. And that's something I love that they maintain throughout the whole movie, because even when they're not running, it still feels like they're running. And I love that level of like tension that is maintained throughout the whole movie.
One of my biggest gripes on most post-apocalyptic movies, and that kind of bleeds into most zombie movies, is that there never is a sense of vacancy in the world. And this is one of the very few movies where you feel it. There's no one there. And it's, you're just alone with the zombies and whatnot. And yeah, you said like that, that is a key component. There's nothing else that besides this in this movie.
Yeah. And so like that, and that to me is like one of the main reasons why I feel like it works, because, you know, the reason why people like zombie movies most of the time is because the most exciting part of a zombie movie tends to be the outbreak, because that's the time when things are craziest. That's when things are like the scariest, because you don't know if you're going to get bit, if you're going to make it, you know. That's what's always been, I feel like, one of the best parts of any zombie movie is the actual outbreak. What this movie does is, like you said, Marcel, it maintains that after the outbreak, now there's this level of just unknowing, like, direction, you know, like everybody's gone, everybody's either been bitten, or now they're moving on to different locations trying to just survive. And so, like, you're not going to be running into people as much as you think you would be, because everybody is kind of trying to just hide or find their own way. And obviously some places work better and others don't. And so, like, that feeling of like, oh, like these characters even running into each other is kind of a surprise in general. When Columbus, for instance, runs into Wichita, he's almost like starstruck. He's like, oh wow, what, like a girl, like alive, like
there's another beautiful girl, yeah, I get a, like, chance to bring home to mother. It's like, nah.
And so, like, he's just so shocked. You do feel like there may be elements of where he's had encounters with other people, because he was terrified of when he first met Tallahassee, and he was shaking, and, you know, he didn't want to shoot him almost, but at the same time, it's like he had to do what he had to do. But it's one of those things where it's almost like he doesn't want to fight other people. He literally just wants to survive and make it. So, but that's yet again another thing that I feel like it's almost like this movie feels really, like, realistic, grounded to a degree, and that's like kind of a reason why I like it as well.
If your entire story is completely vacant in a blank sheet, and you have these big characters, like all four of them, the ones that we have right now, they're gonna shine a lot brighter. And I think finding that family, I guess, if you want to use it, because it's being used so much in various other stories, whether it be, you know, oh, the coworkers that don't want to get together but they do, or like, you know, oh, like, were they a bunch of, you know, villains that, you know, were some kind of suicide squad getting together and being some sort of, but, you know, every now and then, if you want to get that thing to work and you want to utilize it and it actually works, you just feel it. And it's one of those few ones where it's like, you can, the energy of, just to use that word again, from shooting this movie is felt on screen, and it's not fabricated. I think it works here more than anything. As far as locations go, this is one of the few ones, the few zombie movies where the locations that they utilize and the ones that they go to are pretty memorable. Granted, a lot of them weren't shot on location. They were created. They weren't, like, as far as sets goes. The supermarket was an old grocery store that they then filled up and filled with.
Well, yeah, like fake products, like all the stuff on the fridge, for example, all the stuff in the freezer and the fridge.
It's all paper,
yeah. But it looks so good, like you can't even tell, which is just smart. And like, not every single alley is actually filled up with things, but they made it look so convincing. And that's what I think, maybe that's what I really have to say about the team behind the movie. And like, I think what gets me hope for the sequel is there was so much attention to detail done for a lot of the movie that it's like, I think that it really makes, like you were saying, the world come feel like really alive. And so that's kind of why I think it works so perfectly, you know. You know, it's one of the elements why this movie works so well, is because everything just seems like it's so meticulously cared for, whether it be like the grocery store or whatever, or the elements, or even come straight down to their actual like outfits. You know, like, I just feel like there's a lot of attention to detail, sort of carrying the character that they are and then progressing that forward.
I know that Harrelson himself like worked with the costume designer like hand in hand by making sure that Tallahassee's style and look and feel for all of his, whether it be the snakeskin jacket that he has at the end or all of his hats that he has, are all painstakingly in line with what he thinks the character would be. Going more into the detail, I love the makeup for the zombies in movie.
Yeah.
It's incredibly disgusting and makes me uneasy when you actually just get a chance to sit there and look at them.
It's actually one of my favorite versions of zombies to begin with, because like when it comes to zombies, it's usually one of two things. It's either like slow, decrepit, almost like dying brains type of zombies, or like these fast, infected, like, you know, like 28 days later type of zombies. And I think this movie kind of strikes a good balance where it almost seems like it's based on the person that it's infected. It seems like, you know, whenever there's a bigger person that's infected, you know, they tend to be a little slower, kind of like, ugh, like, you know, they're bigger, they're they're broadening, and so it's like scarier because they can, you know, they're gonna overpower you and eat you. And then on the other hand, there's like some of them that are just, you know, crazy and just want to try to get you, and they're you know, they're smaller, they're just like, so it really creates this whole dynamic of how almost each individual person then therefore brings an element to the zombie itself. And so at the end of the day, I mean, there's still these infected zombies that are going to run after you, but they're not like sprinting the entire time like in 28 Days Later. These are a little bit more of a balance where they're going to come to you as good as their body is able to, because there's still
there's still
decrepitness.
People.
Yeah, and there's still people. There's still like a...
It's still a corpse.
Yeah, it's still a corpse coming down. So.
And I've always been more of a fan of the viral zombie rather than the undead, like rises from the grave, a classic Romero-ish zombie. And that's why I'm happy they go with that route. And I also love that there's a theme around specific zombies. You know, you got the clown zombies, you got the boomers and whatnot, which granted leans more into like one of our favorite video games, Left 4 Dead, because I think that when you add that sense of character to your zombies, it just makes it more fun. It makes it more interesting, and it makes you want to stand out and so like that. And that's why it works on so many levels.
Yeah, out of all the characters in portrayed, who do you think is your favorite?
Out of all the characters, I mean, it's Tallahassee.
Tallahassee,
though, I do. I like Columbus. Columbus. He hits the gamer in all of us at one point. I find Columbus to be one of the more interesting characters to see, because I just love the unassuming nature of having this guy put into this situation
and making it right.
Yeah, no, he's making it work. He's just like, oh no, we're just driving down the road. Why can't we just be civil? Like, you know, like we have zombies chasing us. Come on, let's be a family. And it's just like he's that guy.
Like Tallahassee's just so cool, and like I want to see him, but. There's something about the way Wichita carries herself, and she's so like conniving. She's just like so like.
She's a femme fatale.
Yeah, it's just there's something so like she's like she knows what she's doing always. Like she always feels like she's in control. There's something I like so much about her character, and like, and see yet again, this is one of those movies where I feel like in zombie movies or shows, there's always some characters that are just meant to die there. Like they're just like, oh, we're here because they're not that important. They're going to die. But in this movie, everyone feels so important that if any of these characters would have died, I definitely would have felt the impact on it. Whether it would have been, you know, like Columbus or Tallahassee or any of them, to be honest. Even Little Rock. Little Rock is, she felt like such a little sister in this movie that it's just like, ah, oh, like how could you want something to happen to her? Especially because she's like the only child we have. You know, how is she like seeing this through her eyes as a child? And, you know, obviously they're older. And even though, yet again, this is a comedic movie, it has comedic elements to it. There's still this level of like, she's going to deal with a ton of like, I guess, trauma, you know, because she's murdering zombies.
If we're going to be going into some of the favorite my favorite characters, I can't believe that I forgot the very, very best character in this entire film, Bill Murray.
Oh my god, yeah. Like,
it's such a random little like moment that I forget that it's here every time, and then when it's here, it's just like, oh, it's Christmas morning. This is just a very like nice little thing, because Bill Murray doesn't really do much as far as anymore. He's very picky about the roles that he gets to choose. I think it was Lost in Translation, that if you want to reach him, you have to. He doesn't have an agent. I think they didn't even know that he was going to be there on the set. The day of, so the fact that they got him in this movie, it's a nice little treat.
I love it. I love how they also just reenact scenes from Ghostbusters, it's almost like they kind of give you hints at where they're going with like the BM on the gay, and they're like Bob Marley, you know, like it's hilarious how they're sort of hinting at all these little things of where they're gonna go with. Where, you know, like kind of what they're hinting at. And so, you know, whether it be the posters on the wall, the paintings on the wall, the BM on the gate, or just him kind of getting ready before they finally reveal the fact that it's Bill Murray, and including obviously the big, like not so subtle hints of them reenacting or watching the Ghostbusters. We're talking about that. But it's just, like you were saying, Bill Murray doesn't do much, but I feel Bill Murray always likes to do roles where he's like, oh, just come on set and be Bill Murray. Like, just come be you because you're just so great. Just come on set, please.
Yeah, and then get shot by Columbus.
Yeah, oh my God.
I'm like, it's perfect. I love it. And I also love what they kind of just, the minute he gets shot, they just kind of like move on with the next day. Like, yeah, okay, hey, we're chilling.
I love how he dies though with the breathing. He's like, takes him so long to die. Just also the not so subtle shade that he throws at Columbus, and he's like, you think I'm gonna make it? And he looks at Columbus like, no. Just all that shade he throws at him is hilarious. It goes back to like where all these characters have such strong personalities, and Bill Murray being one of them that just has such a strong personality to him as well, that it just, everybody is so unique when it comes to the dynamic of who they are. So it's so great.
Yeah. What was your favorite kill in the movie?
Oh man, that's hard to say. I guess you wouldn't call it an individual kill, but probably my favorite scene / kill is when Tallahassee's on top of the box at the end, going just full, like, you know, like Western, like Red Dead, like type of style of shooting. Just, you know, it feels like the last scene, big scene of a video game where, you know, he's shooting zombies left and right, you know, holding two guns, dueling two guns. It's probably one of my favorite little like clips. So I wouldn't call it an individual kill, but that little segment is just...
I mean, that entire segment has some of my favorite ones too. The scene when he's on the tilt-a-whirl and he's hanging on the side and just like gunning them down with an Uzi. That's great. But I still think one of my favorites is that you got a pretty mouth when they're in the supermarket and he just smacks it. Come here, big boy. Hits him.
Yeah, he's great. Like, I mean, Bill Murray's death is technically a kill of the week as well. But
yeah, no, it is.
but oh man, it's. That's, I wouldn't want to see Bill Murray die. So, yeah. But it's still hilarious. And, you know, it's probably of all the deaths, it gets the most time. All
right. And on that note, we're going to take a little bit of a break. You're going to hear a little something from us. And we're going to be getting into the legacy, some of the little background information, and some of the little tidbits on zombies, Zombieland, and then some. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome to In Hindsight, where we take a look back at films both classic and contemporary, regardless of nostalgia, but all with love. With the month of October comes the obvious, horror, a favorite genre of mine with multiple variations in it from comedy, classic, thriller, slasher, and more. This is Marcel Gatto, and today we're looking at a recent film that reminded modern audiences suspense is the greatest tool of all. Robert Eggers' The Witch is a tricky film to recommend. It's a modern masterpiece in horror that goes against everything currently working in the genre. Instead of cheap jump scares, we get a handful of thrills created through anxiety and patience. It's more of an arthouse feature in that it doesn't hold your hand and is unapologetic in its delivery. Set in 17th century New England, the film revolves around a family of extremist Puritans cast out of their village into the woods to fend for themselves. The theme of isolation is prevalent in both the story, but also the score. I've always stated this, audio is key to making a truly effective horror movie, and Mark Corvin's pieces here do just that. Mirroring the hopeless madness that slowly trickles through the family abruptly and violently, there is evil out in the wood. However, the witch only works off of what our protagonists give her. Our insecurity is coming to a head, and ultimately being our demise is a terrifying concept on its own. Add black magic and a demonic goat, and it's a pure nightmare. The Witch has a giant cult following because it harkens back to the most effective horror movies like The Shining or Silence of the Lambs, one of authenticity, and in hindsight, one of primal fear.
Answer me.
What dost thou want?
What canst thou give?
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Yes.
In Hindsight is part of the Pretty Much Geek Network, available on YouTube, Instagram, iTunes, and all social media. And we're back on the second part of the podcast, and we're here to talk about the legacy of Zombieland, in which case probably also the origin of Zombieland. We got the original concept becoming a thing after the fact, that it's been a long time since the film came out, about 10 years, and in that time the writers and directors have kind of everyone's careers skyrocketed just a little bit after this one. Everyone loves a comedy, everyone loves a horror movie, and this one kind of made a good amount of money if you want to be at that point. The writers of the movie went on to write and work on Deadpool and Deadpool 2. The director made 30 Seconds or Less, Gangster Squad, Venom. But the writers also worked on the Zombieland TV series, which was a very, very, very small-lived short on
Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where, and I think because we were talking about earlier how strong the characters and realistically the characters being tied to the actors, how they brought their own individual like life to them. And with the TV show, and this is sort of actually kind of one of those things where it, whenever a movie is so successful and they want to, you know, they want to do something more with it, and instead of doing another movie, they do like a TV show, why most of the time I feel like it doesn't really tend to work out the same. This was the first time this happened to me. The second time it happened to me was with Evil Dead, the remake of it, when Bruce Campbell was supposed to be in the sequel of the Evil Dead movie that came out, and they ended up making a TV show. And same thing with this. I wanted a sequel, obviously, like 10 years ago when the movie first came out, because I felt like the characters, you know, I think they had more to offer and more places to go. But then when I found out it was going to be a TV show, I was like, okay, cool. I wonder if they're just going to have the original cast. And kind of when I found out that they weren't, it really turned me off specifically because I knew that the dynamics of the chemistry was going to sort of just try to mimic what we saw instead of actually being what I felt like was like original to the movie. And so that's kind of my thing of why I think the TV show didn't really tend to work out for a lot of people. They really tried to dive into more of the comedic elements of the zombie land, like the zombie land like aesthetic to it. But they lost a lot of the horror elements, and obviously TV shows don't have as big a budgets unless they're like HBO shows. So they tend to look a little cheaper. The makeup's not going to be as good. You know, a lot of the elements that made Zombieland special were sort of lost, and it's almost more like, are you a super fan? Here's more of your content in that case. But I just feel like there wasn't enough of those super fans that were going to be out there just to consume that content. And I mean, it proves it by the TV show being canceled.
On a similar note, I think audiences aren't stupid. And I think more than anything, what people love most about the film is that not really the premise, not really, because you can get zombies in any movies, any TV shows, anything you want, as we've seen. It's the dynamics of the characters. It's the dynamics of the actors. It's the dynamics of those specific characters and actors. And if you get rid of that, no one's gonna care. No one's gonna give a shit. That's why everyone's like always wondering when they're gonna kill off certain characters. Are they gonna reboot them? I mean, we saw the whole thing happen with Spider-Man recently with Tom Holland, and it's like, unlike Andrew Garfield before that, when everyone was like, "Yeah, we're fine with it." There wasn't that much of a love for a specific actor or character. Then this time around, there's audiences are too smart.
Yeah,
they're not gonna put their money where towards the product.
Yeah, most of the time, I mean, it only came down to what, like you and me, because we like read the news and, you know, try to stay topical with all these like events. But I mean, God, I have people who are, you know, just watched the Marvel movies casually were telling me like, oh yeah, Sony and this, like, and it was so interesting to hear people who that normally aren't into the geeky culture are getting all this information. And so that's the thing also, maybe too, is like smartphones have become more apparent. And you know, this movie came out 2009. What, smartphones have been around a handful of years. The internet, you know, for most people, that was really, really became accessible when they got a smartphone. God, I think it was only what, like the iPhone 4 or 5 at the time, maybe.
About, yeah,
you know. So I feel like there's been a lot more time for people to become more, but yeah, audience is just getting too smart now. But you know, with, like I said, with Zombieland though, that's the thing. I think if this would originally started as a TV show, and then with the characters that it had now, and maybe a bigger budget, like if Amazon maybe put more money into it and like had faith like they do now, like all the Netflix shows and all the HBO shows, I think it definitely could have stood its own on the ground. But it's like I said, one of those things where that TV show is so short-lived, and it's kind of sad because I'm sure that the actors and everybody who worked on it wanted to do a good job, but it just didn't catch the appeal of the you know, mass audience. So,
and I believe that at this point in time when the show came out, it was like what, 2013. At that point, the zombie fever that started in 2009 started ramping up even just a bit more the next year with The Walking Dead, and that goes more into the I think decline. I feel that's being happened. That's happening for right now. In general, I think the love for zombies is never really going to go away. It's going to wane and whatnot. But it has tripled, if not doubled. It has doubled, if not tripled, in its popularity and the amount of media that we've seen since about like the 90s and whatnot. So it's like I don't want to really specifically say like, you know, like, oh, right now and when we're living is when like zombies are popular and whatnot, and because that's just kind of just a very one-sided way to view history and whatnot, because there's always the idea of the post-apocalyptic and the zombie has always been like in media. It's always been in stories. It's always been something that's existed in sci-fi and whatnot, but a very real and a very fanatical fan base at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think right now that we're hitting a little point where it's simmering. It's simmered down already. Whether it be that because of the show causing the little zombie fatigue or, you know, over saturation, I'm not really one to say.
No, I mean, I would agree with you because, I mean, zombies are... I love zombie movies. You know, I watch almost every zombie-related content thing. Whether it be, you know, like, you know, from Shaun of the Dead to a movie like Fido to all these iZombie, all these kind of zombie-related TV shows or movies or any of those things. I watch all of them. And not so much because they're all great and they're not, but it's more or less because I just really love the premise or the idea of zombies, because it's always been such a fascinating thing to me and how people can handle the world differently. I completely agree with the zombie fatigue because even me being a huge, you know, zombie fan, I didn't even watch The Walking Dead. I think the show realistically lost me after maybe like the third or fourth season. The second season to me was probably one of the worst seasons in any TV show. And it just, at that point, I was kind of just not really caring. But I mean, what they had, The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, you know, they're having a new spinoff or something. So
it's companies throwing like labels and things at it, throwing the word dead on things and expecting everyone to kind of just eat it up. Like it's, you know, leftover scraps from Christmas dinner. And I don't really, I think audiences are smart. I mean, audiences are smarter than that. And when you take away like that character or that,
it loses its niche. Loses its niche. It's like charming quality. And obviously, like I said, so many people taking zombies into different route, like Fido being an unconventional zombie movie, or like just recently there was the musical, it was a zombie, there was like a zombie musical that came out, and it was like a Christmas themed musical. Or even just, I remember MTV had like a TV show about monsters and there were zombies included in that. So there was just, you know, there definitely was an oversaturation. I think at this point though, with Zombieland 2, I think the market is almost like it's simmered because I think the superhero craze has been taking over everything. Obviously, the superhero craze has been in the spotlight for now over 10 plus years.
A decade now. It's past decade.
And so I think everybody's been more, if anything, there might be superhero fatigue, but even then, I still don't think that's been anywhere near like ramping up at all. I think if anything, with Endgame proving how fast it can make money, or even Spider-Man, how fast those movies can make money, that they're going to be very profitable for many years to come. I don't see a decline coming really anytime soon. And that's the thing is, you know, these movies are targeted at everybody, not just kids, not just older people, not anybody specifically, but anybody can watch these movies and enjoy them. And so with zombies and Zombieland 2 coming out at the time, I did feel like maybe the 10-year anniversary, that's kind of like what really is pushing them towards this. It does beg the question though, at this point when they're making Zombieland 2, are they making it because they've always kind of wished they would have done more, or because, you know, the studio decided that like, hey, we'll throw you a couple million, you know, make another one because the first one was so great. And, you know, it's like a passion project for them.
I think it's a bit of both. I've heard, and I've been through other interviews throughout the years, and I looked it up for this podcast, but they've been working on the script on and off, but they've just been so busy. So it's a little bit of both. They probably had a right time slot where they're given a lot, whether through their schedules and, you know, what they're making and so that. Again, these writers have been working on Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
The main director's been like working on his own stuff, and all the other actors are doing their own things too. So I think it hit a nice little balance, I'd say. But I know how the cynicism can creep itself in somehow.
But yeah, with Zombieland Double Tap, I am excited to see it. Obviously, because I really loved the first one. It's one of my favorite movies, like probably of all time, to be honest. It's a movie I can watch over and over again. as a zombie fan, obviously anything zombie related that's going to be big and entertaining, I'm going to watch. I think my only big fear is more or less because the characters are revisiting the characters, how, I guess you would say, not close they're going to come to being that same character that they were 10 years ago, because all of these people have grown and changed as they've gotten older, obviously, especially Little Rock. Little Rock, obviously, she went from being here like an adolescent to now being a, you know, a young adult, or even just maybe in her mid-20s. So she's going to probably be the biggest dynamic change when it comes to all of it. And some of the trailers make like the comedy seem like it's a little bit different. It's like written different. And yet again, that also comes down to the fact that the writers have also grown and developed their writing styles and writing habits. So I'm excited. I'm excited with just a hint of hesitance. But I mean, hey, the Zombieland was good enough to warrant a sequel. So
I mean, we can only hope so. I mean, we haven't seen it since it comes out this week, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're going to be there watching it. So regardless, Alonzo, thank you for joining me.
As always.
And if you're curious on finding out more information about the podcast or any of the other little short films or other things that we do, the content that we make, you can follow us at Pretty Much Geek on Instagram, iTunes, Podomatic, Facebook, and all the other various social media sites that you can find us on. And until next week, where you join us for House of a Thousand Corpses, this has been Marcel Delgado, and for everything else important, newsworthy, and Pretty Much Geek, we'll have it covered all under our radar. See you guys next time.